Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Bread from heaven. Unlike today, with the panacea of bread options, less than 43 years ago, at least in the flat plains of South Dakota, there were only two bread varieties that I was aware of: white and wheat. Something like Wonder Bread, the white, and something gross, the wheat. But my parents said it was healthy for you, so we had to eat it anyway. Texas toast was the exception. We'd make French toast out of that, but I'm pretty sure the toast wasn't from Texas, and neither was the recipe for the French toast from France. The origins of bread were pretty elusive, unless, of course, you read the label. But kids had an easier explanation. Where did you get your bread? From the store. For a special treat, we go to Dunkin' Donuts. Everybody knows where those were made on site by Mr. Duncan, who got up at 4 a.m. and said, "Gotta make the donuts." Grandma Roberts, may her soul rest in peace, would periodically make potato buns, squash bread, or cinnamon rolls. Homemade, handmade, from scratch, right out of the oven. And to be honest, while St. John gives us much better pictures of revelation and of heaven in the book of Revelation, for my 2 cents, heaven is my 8-year-old self sitting at grandma's rock maple table having breakfast. If you watch or listen to any cooking shows today, you know that everyone prizes sourced ingredients. They're all the rage. You don't just want flour. You want to know how the wheat felt just before it was harvested. You want to know which direction the combine went in the field. You want to know that Julie Andrews appeared and sang, "The hills are alive with the sound of music," just before the cows were milked. Nobody has blind faith in the produce either. You want to thump the melons. You want to sniff the peaches. You want to lightly squeeze the avocados. And, of course, turn them over and see where they're from. Are they from South Carolina or Georgia, the peaches, the avocados? Are they from Mexico or California? When Jesus came, claiming to be the bread from heaven, living bread, in John chapter 6, from heaven, his hearers were wary of false advertising. Immediately after Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," he said, "You have seen me, and yet you do not believe." So Jesus tries to lure the willing. "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he gives to me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This Jesus. The Jews, his hearers, had a few stumbling blocks to this. They grumbled about his claim to be bread from heaven. "He doesn't look like the mysterious manna that we saw in the Old Testament. He looks like a man born of a woman. How could he be from heaven? Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter, whose father and mother we know? His ingredients are not sourced from above, but from down below. He is the seed of a couple of lowly Jews from the back country, not the offspring of God from heaven." We today, of course, believe that Jesus is the incarnate Lord. At Christmas time, we sing, "God in flesh made manifest." And we sing, "O little town of Bethlehem, the city of bread, where they lay Jesus in a manger, a feeding trough." Jesus is the living bread from heaven, From heaven above to earth I come. His father is from above. His mother God chose from down below. True God and true man in one person, not two lords, but one Christ. Like the manna, it is a mystery, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't argue with them about the source of his ingredients, nor does he give them a Christmastime lesson about his personhood and birth. He had said enough by claiming to be the bread from heaven. It's all their stubborn minds could take for now. Instead, he reminds the faithful in the text who do believe in him how they too were powerless to believe this. That is, my friends, us. We are powerless to believe this, the mystery of Jesus being true God and true man. About this, you have no power in you to believe it. It's not just some stubborn hearers in Jesus' day, it's all of us. Jesus is talking about all of humanity. No one by nature believes that Jesus is bread from heaven. For you've neither seen his origins, you didn't see the donut maker get up at 4 a.m., nor are you allowed to thump the melon, and you can't squeeze the avocado. For it is by faith that one is drawn to Christ, by the Spirit, one is drawn to believe this. Jesus says in our text, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day, the promise. Recalling these words Dr. Luther wrote in our catechism, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctifies and keeps me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in the faith in Christ Jesus. On the last day, we'll raise me and all believers. This is most certainly true. Rather than being taught by men to believe rightly in Jesus, Jesus says, no, no, as the scriptures have said, and they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, Jesus says. God does the action of drawing us to Jesus. God sends his Spirit through the Word and the sacraments that he gives so that we believe and have eternal life. Unlike the Wonder Bread from the store that I ate as a child, or the manna that Israel ate in the wilderness, Jesus is the true bread, the living bread from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Grandma's squash buns were certainly great, but the bread of Jesus' flesh, which he gives for the life of the world, is not just great. It's God-given. It's God-delivered. It's sourced from above. And it grants eternal life. As you feast on his flesh today, both by faith and hearing, and by eating the sacrament at the table, remember in your heart, this is not just the carpenter's son. This is the crucified and risen Jesus. It's his life for your sins. It's his bread as true food for your souls, true drink from his cup of grace. And he will raise your body to be like his on the last day. Believing that he is the bread of life, let us say with him, amen. It is so. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.